The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM channel 158. My name is Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine.
Hey,
so much more than a producer, alongside. Still to come, Wes Reynolds this hour, Tim Murray as well, standing by to talk college football national championship with us, because a special numbers game investigation reveals, ladies and gentlemen, the college football national championship is tonight between Ohio State and Notre Dame. We will get to that here. We get tweets at Beating the Book first. Jesse Welch, good morning, fellas. Gilly, I hope you're still on cloud nine with your taco holders. By the way, for those wondering why the taco holders, why I refuse to call them by their actual name, is because I'm a lifelong Washington fan, and so I like the old name, but I understand about the old name, and I understand that genie, it's tough to put the genie back in the bottle with something like that. But I, you know, so I call them everything else that I can think of, Commodores, Commandos, you know what people do. Taco holders is because the logo looks like one of those holders you get tacos when you order fish tacos.
I was going to say, but when we first brought this up, very specifically the fish tacos, because, you know, they get a little loose sometimes. You got to put them in the metal holders.
I used to call them the commodes, but I'm not doing that anymore. Jesse Welch, good morning, fellas. Gilly, I hope you're still on cloud nine with your taco holders. But man, did that Ravens loss suck or what? Would have been the perfect side had the entire roster not forgotten how to hold a football in the second half. Real Knicks, happy for your victory. Washington's such a fun team, and Jaden led me to my fantasy championship, so I love him. I've been humming hail to the Redskins all morning. Then I get depressed because all I can picture is Riggins running all over my Dolphins in Super Bowl 17. Ah, what a day that was. Tom Mast, 313, played a $20 exact at Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl at 32-1 in April on BetMGM. Would you hedge with a Bills or Skins player or let it ride? If I'm you, look, you got both the favorites, right?
Yeah.
My two are gone. My two matchups are gone. I had Lions-Chiefs and Lions-Ravens. What happened to the Lions this weekend again?
Yeah, they lost. The AFC's still around, so I'm still alive in my only futures bet.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, the AFC can't be eliminated. AFC, so,
you know. That's right. You're still alive in your AFC versus NFC battle. Benjamin Schott. Sirianni made a few very poor decisions. The first half touchdown, first half timeout you mentioned, where he didn't call it. The prevent D, which you mentioned after taking a 13-point lead that opened the door. And then the play calling on the last drive to not run clock more and use Barkley. Yeah, he was bad. Jeffrey S. DeVore, all respect to Gil and his Commanders fandom. Perhaps the only sporting result this week that would overlook Iga's love for bagels in Australia. Good luck to Emma. Yeah, Iga Swiatek is like bageling and breadsticking everybody. But now that she's in the quarters, now the tournament actually begins. And she will have a tough opponent in Emma Navarro.
It took me a second. I was like, what, is she eating bagels down there or something?
Everything's 6-love, 6-1. She's just crushing people. Nevada Azer. Hey, Gil, in celebrating Jaden Daniels' beatdown of the Lions, can we get that Caleb Merrill Hodge soundbite? LOL.
He is not special. He is not special. There's nothing special about him.
Merrill Hodge on Caleb Williams back before the draft. Trip Tepper. Sirianni got exposed at the end of the first half. He has one primary job since he doesn't call plays. Clock management. Take the timeout at 23 seconds, call a conservative third down play, and run the field goal unit on the field for a kick on fourth down. Could not agree more. Could not agree more.
I mean, I didn't say it, right? Is anybody surprised by this? Like, we all knew where the coaching advantage was in that game, and it showed up immediately and for the entirety of the game.
Yeah, sure.
They still won.
We got more tweets to get to. We'll get to all of them, but let's talk some college football. Tim Murray, ladies and gentlemen, is the host of VSiN College Tailgate Show. He also is the host of the college football podcast that we do here on the network, which is wildly popular. He is, of course, a stalwart VSiN host as well. And he also happens to have the distinction of being the only human being I know that is both a Washington fan, talking about pro football, and a Notre Dame fan on the college level. It's Tim Murray, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Tim?
A long time coming, Gil. Long time coming, man. And I know many people don't care about my sadness as a Notre Dame fan because they haven't won a national title since I was 15 months old, or as a Washington fan. I feel like I get more... A little bit more compassion for being a Washington fan versus Notre Dame fan. But it's been a good run.
As you should, by the way. Like, really? Are you looking for sympathy for Notre Dame? Are you really? Come on.
No, I didn't say that. I mean, it would be nice to get a national championship, but I'm happy with multiple big bowl wins. Look, we'll talk about this game, and it's not a defeatist mentality, but as a fan, you know, beating Georgia, beating Penn State. I was at the Penn State game. I'm feeling good, man. It's just kind of like the rest is kind of gravy, and I'm sure you're feeling similarly for Washington. I think a fun question to ask is, who's got a better shot to win it all, Washington or Notre Dame? And even though it's kind of crazy because Notre Dame is in the championship tonight, I think you could make an argument that Washington might have a better shot with the prolificness of their offense.
Well, yes, I think Washington football fans are now like, wait a minute, this could happen.
Why not us?
Why not us, right? Commanders fans. But to your Irish, who are 8.5-point favorites now, 8.5 now.
Dogs.
Dogs, pardon me. 8.5-point dogs, pardon me, against Ohio State tonight. What I'm hearing from you, this game in Atlanta tonight, what I'm hearing from you is you don't really give your Irish a puncher's chance here. You give them a puncher's chance. Let's start there.
I give
them
a puncher's chance. Yeah. Look, it's going to be a challenge. I mean, you know, both of these teams were defeated earlier this year as a massive favorite, right? Thanksgiving weekend, Ohio State lost as a 19.5-point favorite to Michigan, and Notre Dame infamously lost as a 4-touchdown favorite to Northern Illinois in week 2 of the college football season. Do I give him a puncher's chance? Sure. And I joked on, I was doing a podcast over the weekend, and I said, look, at the time we recorded, Washington and Houston were bigger underdogs than Notre Dame. Now, late money came in on Washington. I think that closed around 7.5. But, you know, if you look back to the Georgia game, Gil, I think Notre Dame needs it to be kind of a similar game where you get a couple turnovers, you get a big play on special teams. And when you look at Ohio State and the playmakers that they have offensively, when it's Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Egbuka, Carnell Tate, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, heck, Geese Scott Jr. is really talented tight end. This is the most talented team by far that Notre Dame will face from an offensive standpoint. So they're going to really have to play their elite game. They're going to need Ohio State to be a little bit off. And I'll say this, Gil, if you think back to the Cotton Bowl, it was not like Ohio State played a perfect game. They ran into trouble getting behind the sticks with penalties, and it was 21-14. Texas had the ball on the 1-yard line, first and goal, and had a chance to maybe force overtime there. So is it an impossibility? No, but obviously Ohio State is a better team from a talent standpoint, and there are going to be unique challenges for Notre Dame, especially offensively against this elite defense, to get things going consistently there. And Notre Dame's going to have to figure that out. This is an Ohio State defense, Gil, that is going to be really challenging to run against. And Jeremiah Love continues to deal with that knee injury. And outside of the 98-yard touchdown run against Indiana, he has not gone for over 10 yards on any rush in this college football playoff.
What's the game script, Tim, for Notre Dame to cover, but let's say even to have a shot at winning this? Like, what has to happen? How does this go for that result to manifest?
Yeah, I think you kind of drag it into the mud. You know, I was there last year in South Bend, and it was 3-0 at halftime. You need long, sustained drives. You can't get yourself into 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. We know that's where Riley Leonard struggles. You know, it, as cliche as it sounds, it's almost, you know, kind of like an Army-Navy script where just stay ahead of the chains, get to 3rd and 3, utilize Riley Leonard's legs. His over-under, I believe, on rushing attempts is 14.5. I think the script is certainly for Notre Dame to go over that, even though he's only gone over 14.5 rush attempts once this year. That was last week against Penn State. So I think the script is long, sustained drives for Notre Dame and try to avoid the explosive plays from Ohio State. You know, I mean, Ohio State, it was 7-7, and it looks like that's going to be the score going into the halftime of the Cotton Bowl, right, Gil? And then what happens? They throw a screen pass to Travion Henderson. He goes 75 yards to the house. I think Notre Dame really has to avoid those explosive plays. Even when you go back to last year in South Bend against Ohio State, they avoided the explosive plays to an extent, but still gave up a long Travion Henderson touchdown run. So I think the biggest thing for me is offensively, long sustained drives, defensively, try to avoid the explosive plays and see if you can get a turnover or two. Look, Will Howard is not a perfect quarterback, and I think you have to get him to throw a ball into coverage and see if you can get an interception. Notre Dame turned opponents over 32 times this year, Gil. In the Sugar Bowl, they were +2 in turnover margin against Georgia. I think you have to win the turnover margin. You have to have these long sustained drives and avoid the explosive plays from the dynamic playmakers that Ohio State has on offense.
Does that give you a stand on the total of 45, or are you staying off that?
I think there is a correlation. I think if you like Notre Dame, I think it is an underlook. I do know a lot of people that you and I respect, Gil, like the team total under. Brad Powers came on our show last week, said his best bet at the time was under 19.5. I believe that was at the Westgate Superbook. That has since been gobbled up. So I do think there's a little bit of a correlation. I played first half under last week at 23.5, seen a little bit of movement there under a first half key of 23. But yeah, I do think if you're of the mindset that Notre Dame can cover this game, I think there's a bit of a correlation. I think if you're looking to back Ohio State, there's a lot of routes, right? They could blow them out. It's certainly possible. We saw that against Oregon. I think they could win a grinder. We saw that certainly against Texas. I think Notre Dame, their route is you got to win a grinder, got to win a low-scoring game. And look, they had success in the second half against Penn State offensively. You got to find a way, Gil, to bottle that up, get some explosive plays like they did in that second half against a pretty good defense in Penn State. And Mike Denbrock, the offensive coordinator, needs to find unique ways to get some big plays tonight for the Irish in Atlanta.
So sounds to me, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, sounds to me like if you weren't a Notre Dame guy, you might lay the points with Ohio State. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Tim, you're in a good place. The Irish.
We're good.
The Commanders. There, I said it. It's a good time of year. Enjoy the game tonight, and good luck, Tim. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Gil. Go Commandos.
There you go. Tim Murray, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. Back to the NFL next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In sports betting and trading, understanding probability is the ultimate game changer. Unlock the secrets of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horwitz, a former floor trader and seasoned sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit bubbatrading.com/VSiN today. Use promo code VSiN500 to save $500. Don't miss your chance to sharpen your strategy, gain the edge in your trading game. That's bubbatrading.com/VSiN. Promo code VSiN500. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Where did I leave off? Oh, yeah. Let's see. We talked about the Sirianni stuff. Rich PSM. They feast on your mistakes and don't make their own, including penalties, ruining drives like 12 men on the field. Do you trust the Eagles' offense to avoid this? Exceptions could happen. Just ask Leicester City. I was having trouble figuring out which way Rich was going with that.
Yeah. Do you trust the Eagles to not blow this opportunity? No, I don't trust the Eagles.
You don't?
Don't trust them. Okay. I think if I can read into you and Tim,
yeah,
takeaway, I do think there was a sense of after the first playoff win of like, all right, kind of like we talked about this last week. Mission accomplished. 100%. We couldn't have possibly expected this.
100%.
And after last week, after Saturday, it's a renewed kind of look at the season of, hey, we're in the Final Four. You got a chance to go win a Super Bowl here.
Kelly, when you don't punt and you don't turn the ball over, it's kind of hard to beat you.
Man, what was the stat I heard from Chernoff this morning? This was amazing. The fourth down conversion rates. And when the Eagles were doing it last year with the tush push, and everybody was started talking about outlawing the tush push, right? Because of how effective it was by one team.
Yeah.
The Commanders this season, 22% better on fourth down conversions.
Yes. And by the way, I hope Chernoff is changing his tune, because remember, I brought him up. I love Adam Chernoff, but I feel it's his worst take. He was talking about how the Washington is the luckiest team of our lifetime. Mm. And I'm like, you haven't watched a game if you feel that way. It's not like they're going for it on third and, on fourth and eight or fourth and nine. It's always fourth and short. And for Jaden Daniels, it's easy peasy because you have no way to defend him.
It's wild. It's incredible how effective they're doing it.
Michael Baum at Hoosiers Mike Gill. Is it just me, or did the guy in your Legacy commercial, talking about the Legacy bar, they show in between segments, outkick his coverage? I know it's a commercial, but come on now. He's talking about Bill Adey outkicking his coverage on the Legacy Club commercials, I think. How dare you talk about Lady that way?
No, there's a lot of people up there in that part of the commercial.
Who are the girls in the Legacy Club
remember.
Commercial?
I don't remember. Dustin's up there. Wes is on standby. I think he's at the pool. I think he's in the pool shot.
All right. Let me read the other tweets after this because we got to get to Wes. Wes Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one on Twitter. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together, an encyclopedia of not just sports knowledge, but all kinds of knowledge. Wes, always great to see you, man. How you doing?
Gil, I appreciate you saying that, man. I contribute here where I can at the big network.
The hottest golf bettor on the planet right now, Gil.
Yes.
Back-to-back outrights for my man here.
Right, before we get to the golf back-to-back outrights, something a little more important. I saw you tweet about the Hollywood Squares, the reboot of the Hollywood Squares last night. What is Drew Barrymore doing in the center square? Isn't that a bad decision, Wes?
Well, it's not exactly the generation I grew up with in the 1980s where John Davidson was the host. And remember that Joan Rivers was the center square. It was either Joan Rivers or it was Alf or it was Jim J. Bullock. So,
Alf.
You know,
Jim J. Bullock.
Like Jim J. Bullock from Too Close for Comfort. Like, I feel like Drew Barrymore, it's like you've been like a really huge movie star. Now she does her daily daytime talk show. But yeah, I was a little bit stunned to see her as the center square.
Yeah. Jim J. Bullock, by the way, does not spell the gym with an I. Just want to point that out.
I'm sitting here thinking.
J.M. Yes.
That's right. And then the other question before we your Yacht Rock documentary, you're a big fan of that as well. Give me your three, for those who have not seen the doc yet, your three go-to must-listen-to Yacht Rock songs of all time are?
That is tough to narrow down to three, so I'm actually going to give you five. I'll go 5-1. Toto Africa,
wow.
I think, probably has to be there. It wasn't a big hit, but I think it's a Yacht Rock staple. Kenny Loggins, Heart to Heart.
Yes, that's
Christopher why. Christopher Cross, Sailing. You kind of got to have Sailing there when you're talking Yacht Rock. Player, Baby Come Back, which I think is a very underrated Yacht Rock song. And then number one, I think it's 100% on the Yacht or Nyacht rankings, and it's What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers.
This is why I asked Wes, because I got What a Fool Believes, I got This Is It, I have Heart to Heart, Kenny Loggins, and my fourth would be Biggest Part of Me by Ambrosia. But
very good.
But the fact
very
that you good. Got Heart to Heart in there, that's Wes is my hero. About the golf, back to back long shot winners. Take us through both of them. Nick Taylor was the first.
Yes, Nick Taylor was the first there at the Sony Open in Hawaii, and that was one that was lucky. And I made the comment that, you know, sometimes you win ones that you shouldn't and you lose ones that you should win. That was a win one that I shouldn't, because with Nick Taylor on 15 and 16, he had 2 4-foot birdie putts and he missed them both. So I was like, okay, this is a wrap here. He's probably going to finish fourth. The leaders are 2 shots ahead of him in the final group. And then he's 58 feet off the green on that par 5 on 18. He chips in and makes birdie. Neither of the two guys in the final group birdie the 18th, so they don't get in the playoffs. So Taylor then had to survive with the 10-foot putt on the first playoff hole and ends up beating Nico Echeverria. So that was kind of a fortunate one. And then yesterday, if I didn't get Sepp Straka home, I would have kind of felt cheated a little bit, because I felt like he was much the best of it. He never was plus money in the final round. He had a 4-shot lead after Saturday afternoon. They're all on the PGA West Stadium course. And yeah, it got cut to like 3 at one point, but it seemed like, and I was monitoring it throughout the round, it seemed like he was never worse than like -$3 or -$4 to win the thing. I think he got to like 250 at one point when it got to a 2-shot lead, but he went bogey free basically through 70 holes this week.
Your numbers on Taylor and Straka respectively were?
115-1 on Nick Taylor and 60-1 on Sepp Straka.
My guy.
60-1. You're slipping, Wes, for God's sake.
Carrying the pot early in the year.
I'm taking too much chalk, man.
Farmers Insurance, not this early in the week for a pick yet. Do we have to go to long shots to figure that out, or you have some?
Yeah, I'll be writing later this week or actually later today and then into tomorrow. But The field's a little bit weaker at the top, by the way, at Torrey Pines this time around. Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa were going to be the two shortest prices, and then they went ahead and withdrew, and maybe because they're going to get another chance to play Torrey Pines. I know a friend of the network, friend of your show, Rick Gaiman, is kind of putting it out there that maybe the Genesis Invitational is going to be played at Torrey Pines this year, because obviously Riviera is in Pacific Palisades in Los Angeles. So, you know, that's not going to be feasible at all with everything that's going on out there and all the devastation. So you may get the Genesis here at Torrey Pines. So guys might have a second crack to play it. So the field's a little bit down by its usual standard. And then plus with Pebble Beach coming up, and that's the signature event with the limited field for the big $20 million purse, et cetera, et cetera. So a little bit of a downfield this week at the Farmers Insurance.
Okay. So if you're interested in Wes Reynolds golf picks, and you should be, because again, he's coming off a 125-1. He's coming off a 60-1. And by the way, these are two of a bajillion long shots he's hit over the years here in golf. Long Shots is the name of the golf podcast, which he does with Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown, and of course, VSiN.com, all of Wes's writings across sports at VSiN.com. So check it out there. Let's do rapid fire on football. College Football National Championship tonight. Do you have a play?
Nothing on the side. I'm right there. I made the number 7.5. It's 8.5. Look, Ohio State, when they play at their peak, I still think is better than any team in the country. And I think that they're better than Notre Dame here. I just think Notre Dame, even though they're on that cover streak, 11-0 straight up, 11-0 ATS, nothing for me on the side. I did play Aeneas Williams, who is a backup freshman running back for Notre Dame, who they are starting to use a little bit more in the passing game, because I'm predicating that on the fact that I don't think Notre Dame is going to be able to run the ball on Ohio State. Texas clearly could not. Oregon clearly could not. So you're going to have to kind of pass a little bit in a phone booth, pass in the flat, over the middle. And Williams had 5 catches for 66 yards against Penn State. They're starting to use him more. They're also using him in pass protection. So that was my prop for this evening.
Anything early bets on the Skins and the Eagles or the Bills and the Chiefs on Sunday?
Yeah, I feel like I got to wait on the Jalen Hurts status, because in the interview with Melissa Stark after the game, he was like, well, I finished the game. So that's not exactly an answer of, yeah, I'm 100% not. Yeah. I'm really healthy here. But Eagles got the money, not surprisingly here, I think, at least early on. Maybe the market's not believing in the Commanders like they did on Saturday when they took the money.
Yeah,
absolutely. I want to go against the Chiefs here, because I do think that, I guess if a 16-2 team can be vulnerable, I do think the Kansas City Chiefs are. But, man, Mahomes, you know, when he's an underdog or when he's a small favorite, he's just money. And the Chiefs are pulling all these games out. So, you know, why wouldn't they do it like they did Saturday, when I thought that they were outplayed for a lot of the game? And then, you know, they go ahead and win easier than the final score indicates.
I'm with you, man. That's always the thing, right? And we saw this last year, too. As you know, we could say these things for a whole season. Oh, Baltimore and San Francisco last year, two of the top 10 teams of all time, at least according to DVOA. Baltimore this year. But then there's Patrick Mahomes with his cape on, ready to just slam everybody's rankings away. 7 straight AFC championships. Wes, always great. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, fellas.
Wes Reynolds, everybody, at Wes Reynolds 1. And again, the golf plays, Long Shots, the golf podcast, and of course at vsin.com. Check it out. More NFL on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, my little buddy Kelly Bidlin here, everybody. Kelly Bidley. Calais Bidlon. That's how you spell it.
So distracted by the inauguration coverage.
Have we started?
Big networking event, Gil. Big networking event. That's what I feel like.
January 20th, always when inauguration day is. And this is one of these rare sort of, you know, concurrent things with Martin Luther King's birthday. Third Monday of every January. So happens on the same day.
Yeah, what I say before, third time ever it's happened? Third time ever.
There's a stat for you on a numbers game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from... So everybody's sending me this article about Jaden Daniels doing the virtual reality training. This is actually an old story. I know somebody just put it out this weekend.
Yeah.
But we've known about this all year. This is why he goes to... He's the first person into practice every day. He goes to the crack of dawn, and he does virtual reality training. But now everybody's like sending me this article like it's a new thing.
Do I need to care more beyond that one sentence in the tweet?
Oh, it's a good article.
It is? Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to take away anything from it. T for three, who's an Eagles fan, he goes, this is going to be the longest week for some of us. Go Birds. CD Bradley, all of us Skins fans for the past 2 days, what a feeling. Jason H11, congrats, Gilly. As a Giants fan, this championship game makes me nauseous, but I will be rooting for the Commies. Let's go. Yeah, I would see that's how Giants fans would take it. Tim Bowers, as a Lions fan, congrats to you, and I do declare the Daniels is awesome. While I'm not destroyed over the Lions losing, as I remember 0-16, I think I'll help cure some of the slight disappointment by finally watching the Yacht Rock doc. I hear it's incomparable. Thank you, Tim. That's a very nice tweet from you. I did feel terrible whenever they showed a shot of the Lions fans in the stands.
Yeah.
Oh, just the depression of that.
Bruce, hey, the Pistons are pretty good.
Okay, easy. Bruce Dobig, and by the way, Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin once wasted 3 minutes on primetime action in 2021.
Oh, he called this.
They said 2 years. They go on and on about the Detroit Pistons. And I'm just sitting there waiting for these two to shut up. And finally I go, well, so what's your prediction? You go, oh, they'll make the playoffs within 2 years. That was your whole thing.
I'm going to text Matt. We were dead on about that.
Well, I think it was 3 years. Bruce Dobig.
I think he said 3 years.
I think he said two. Bruce Dobig and Skins failures are misery regular. Detroit Lions are misery pro.
Mm.
And then the Gills guy's account is getting it into with Steelers fan Jason Stark back and forth. Listener on listener violence occurring on
Jason
Twitter.
Ain't backing down. That's all I can tell you guys.
If you had an answer, if you wanted to know the answer to the question, does anybody have a Commanders futures ticket to win the Super Bowl from before the season? I believe this is from before the season. David Gonzalez is your answer at Panda ATX. He has the Commanders at 300-1. For $100 to win 30 large.
That's a fun one. I bet he's a fan.
Judd O'Connor. I bet he is too. Judd O'Connor. Real time during the Buffalo game, I thought the Ravens should have kicked the PAT down 21-19. Ravens automatically extend the game, guaranteed to get the ball back to either tie again or win. Isn't this the same theory? Going for two down 14 late in the game. I don't know about that last part. I didn't have any problem with them going for two down 21-19.
Yeah, going for two there every time.
Rich PSM is making parallels to the Dodgers, talking about the character and the free agents I was talking about earlier. The free agents for sure beyond the big ones, right? He's talking about Teoscar Hernandez and guys like that with what I was talking about with Washington and Adam Peters earlier. Yes, but of course the big difference is they can pay anybody on earth. Shohei, Sasaki, all these guys. That's a little different than the Commanders, but I appreciate the comparison on that. This is from Indiana Jet, who was one of the four survivors who chopped last year in Circus Survivor. He says, took Washington +9.5, thought about sprinkling some on the Washington money line as discussed on your show last week, but decided to pivot off the money line, and I took Washington highest scoring team of the weekend at 10-1 instead. So he got there a different way.
Well, that was a smart bet, too.
Michael Harrison, Gil, if this team ends up winning the Super Bowl, will you finally adopt the name Commanders for good? Will the city? No and no.
Oh, okay. This leads into the one question I had for you, though, because it's been boiling inside me since the show started. Acceptable nicknames for the Commanders now are what, Gil Alexander? Because the audience seems to be confused. I'm a little confused.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I am. No, I like the list from
there's
we can't
no,
go commodes
we
anymore.
We can't go commodes anymore, but commandos, commandeers, commies.
So really everything besides commodes, got it.
Just can't say commanders. We just don't like it.
So still no commanders, but they're not bad anymore, so we can't go commodes.
Ah, you're confusing me. John Fitzgibbons, thinking of cheers. Hold those tacos, take command, be incomparable, be incomparable, Ega. Ega's allowed as well. Stuart Carlin. Gil and Kelly, just want to say awesome show today. I'm about an hour behind, so I'm catching up. Great recap of the Commanders, see, I said it, game versus the Lions. I can hear the excitement in your voice when you talk about them. I know how proud you must be. Thank you, Stuart.
Yeah, wait till you get to segment six. It's a real good one.
What was segment six?
I don't know. I'm just messing with him if he's listening live now.
Oh, wait till you get to that segment. JT, speed to burn. I'd rather see the officials let them play and only flag the egregious penalties than the flag feats you usually see. Mike Rouse, maybe the Texans should worry more about special teams, etc., instead of complaining about the refs. Oh, and maybe try and guard one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. That's all fair, Mike. I'm not suggesting it was all the refs. I just think both things are true. But you're right. You miss an extra point. You get a field goal blocked. There's another one I'm forgetting as well on special teams.
I keep going back. The volume of just penalties called in the game, I actually have more of a problem with than the individual penalties that we went through. just compared to every other game that was played. It's just the refs kept the flags in their belts in those other games. In their belts, in their pants? Where do they keep those flags?
Rick Ollier, I was a Chiefs backer and I never advocate for injury, but at what point do you start telling your players to lay Patty out on every play? Oh, Patty Mahomes, he's talking about. Out on every play on the first drive, you're going to get flagged later in the game when it matters most anyways. Might as well make it count, right? Rick Ollier endorsing violence.
I kind of know what he means, though. I mean, it's the same thing as the NBA players. I mean, Mahomes is selling everything these days, right? And why wouldn't you? If it's going to possibly get called, sell it as much as you can.
The palm readers. Kelly's exactly right. I don't remember any other roughing the passer penalties in any other game this week. I noticed the other quarterbacks slide and run out of bounds without faking it. Mahomes clearly bends the spirit of the rule. He was absolutely toying with the defense on that play.
Yeah.
He was. Jack Hannon, what do they call the defense the Bills were in on the Ravens' last possession? Let's play overtime? It's really true. George D, just read something wild about Jaden Daniels. Apparently, he required whatever team drafted him to adopt virtual reality training. He straps on a VR headset daily, takes hundreds of reps at 1.7x speed. This explains why he's so smooth. And on and on and on. We appreciate it. Oh, and Norman Vegas answers the Drew Barrymore question. He says, Drew Barrymore is executive producer on Hollywood Squares. I think she owns a piece of the show. So that's why she's the center square. She's no Paul Lind. Anyway, I appreciate all the tweets throughout the show. Brings us to our G-Bank official bets, best bets of the day, by the way. Courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. We do this on every show on the network, including our own. I've got one at the Australian Open in Melbourne. By the way, we're at the business end of the tournament now, Kelly.
I'm rolling with you on this one.
Business end. We're at the quarterfinals now. Paula Badosa is my play tonight, plus the games. Not on the money line. Paula Badosa plus the games against Coco Gauff. She is Spanish. Coco is American.
And just in case this matters to you,
yes,
like it perhaps mattered to me, not you, Gil, everybody else. The start time for this match is basically roughly right when the college football playoff championship game starts.
Yes.
In case you need something to put on that second TV or second screen.
There's nothing wrong with watching a match with Paula Badosa. Paula Badosa plus 4.5 games against Coco Gauff. Kelly, what's yours?
I am way too invested. For me, I am somehow way too invested in this college football playoff game tonight. College football playoff championship game? Is that the official name for it?
They're going with CFP.
CFP championship game?
Well, I don't know. Okay. They're going with it a lot.
So I tied Ohio State into a teaser with the Bills next week. Okay. I did that. It's not big.
By the way, America's teaser of the week didn't get home, did it?
No, it did not. No, that sucked. Ohio State, I also included money line with the Eagles yesterday. So I have a couple bets involving Ohio State tonight. I don't know why, Gil.
You know, I never gave a guess for the AFC Championship, but we kind of already knew it from the look-aheads, but I said to Kansas City -1.5, and that's kind of where
you're
it is.
You're dead on, yeah. You're dead on.
Wes Reynolds, yeah. Aeneas Williams for Notre Dame, over 24.5 receiving yards tonight as well.
And then Tim Murray.
He's got the under, but in the first half for the College Football National Championship tonight. Under 23.5, first half, Ohio State and Notre Dame. G-Bank is always the official bank of VSiN. If you're serious about sports betting, you need the G-Bank Visa Signature Card. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you put your own money on the card. G-Bank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're typically saving up to 3-5% on cash advance fees right there. Right now, for a limited time, you'll receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. We've done all we can do. What a championship Sunday this is set up for. Obviously, the College Football National Championship tonight. And then two championship games on Sunday in the Super Bowl. We got four football games left, college and pro. And for the NFL, you get a Buffalo-Kansas City marquee matchup. And then you get a third game between
Eagles,
who a lot of people had getting there. And then the Washington Commanders. There, I got it out of my mouth. Who nobody thought was getting there. Should be fun. Stormy is next with Money Moves. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.